This is the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Hockey is more than a game, it's a lifestyle. It's you, the diehard supportive fans, your favorite players who are on the team you cheer for and the organization who supports them.
The companies that make your gear, bags, and beer league sweaters, the hockey moms and hockey dads, and everything else that makes this House of Hockey your home. Come on in. I'm Breezy.
And I'm Ray Ray.
And this is our house.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but also America's top-rated sportsbook. Speaking of America, our top athletes are over in Tokyo competing for the gold, and DraftKings has a medal-worthy offer just for our listeners. Listen to this great offer. Place any pre-event wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits if America wins any medal this year. That's 100-1 odds on an American athlete to stand on the podium and receive gold, silver, or bronze this week. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often. So sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in on all of the action. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know Breezy does too. It is super easy to navigate. It has plenty of instructions for all of you new bettors and nearly limitless ways to get in on all of the action. Even my friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. That's THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network. When you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if America wins a medal, and I know they will. That's code THPN to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. And I also don't know for a fact that we will win a medal, but I have a hunch that we probably will. So for legal reasons, I have to say that.
Well, and there you have it. Welcome to the House of Hockey podcast. This is episode 72. I'm one of your hosts, Breezy.
And I'm your other host, Ray Ray.
And we have a lot to talk about this week. There's been a new team that has been drafted. There has been new players that have been drafted. There has been teams that have been broken apart and put back together again. Where do we start?
I don't know. So I can't keep up. I feel like this off season, so many more things, like big moves and trades have happened than last year. But I also think just last year was such a cluster with COVID, and like, we don't remember anything before the COVID. I don't remember anything before the COVID season. You know what I mean? Like, I can't remember now, you know? So it's so much like the divisions again are slightly different to make room for the Kraken. And like, I guess we should start with the Kraken, because I have a serious bone to pick with ESPN.
Well, I was watching your Instagram stories, and I knew something was coming. I do think we should start on the Kraken, but first and foremost, okay. I feel like I need to set the record straight. I was about to tell you this earlier, but then you told me to hold up. You told me to shut my mouth.
So I did not. I said, can you hold it? Can you hold it till we record? I was like, I feel like you should be telling me this while we're on the show. Okay,
guess,
go ahead.
I guess so. So when Vegas became a team, I felt like I had to buy something that was Vegas-like, just for my like memorabilia, whatever. If I wanted to wear it, cool. If I didn't, whatever. But I just wanted to get something. So I had to get something of the Kraken, and it actually arrived today. I didn't go the traditional route with the S, because I'm obsessed with octopus people. Like, that is my favorite like sea creature, even though I'm afraid of the ocean. Completely obsessed. I will eventually be getting like a giant octopus tattooed on my leg. So the Kraken is like something that's like really cool to me, at least. But I got this hat. So if you're watching this, how sick is this little anchor hat? And not to mention their little logo on the back. So cool. I love the font. I'm super excited. And I probably will wear this for their first game. Because why not?
I fully support that choice. I like the anchor that it's like the alternate image of the Kraken
Because
that
you can't
you
like
won't know what
tell,
it is.
like, right. So, like, I could wear this and people would be like, oh, it's an anchor hat. But, like, if you look at the back, it says Kraken on it. So it's like kind of a two for one. I love the color combo. I think those jerseys are actually super sick. I love them. I don't know. I got good vibes on this team. I got good vibes on the team.
Yeah, I loved the jersey and the logo when I saw it singularly, like with one player
Yeah.
wearing it, and I thought, oh, that looks really cool. But then when they took that picture with all the guys, I was like, whoa, that's like kind of a lot. That's like a lot of bright teal happening. It looks a little. It's a lot. I mean, it's a lot, but that's what Seattle. I mean, like if you look at the Seahawks, their football team, it's like that neon green. It's like
Yeah.
the Apple iMessage green. So I guess it's
Right.
like within their world, but I was like, ooh, on the ice, that looks a little, might look a little gimmicky, cheesy, but I still
I
do
mean,
like the logo and all that.
I think it's gonna pop. I think if you're gonna go off of bright, obnoxious jerseys, you could easily probably argue the Ducks and their bright orange jerseys that they wear sometimes. Even Vegas, those super flashy gold ones,
Yeah.
like with like their gold reflective helmets, you're like, bro, I can't see.
Yeah. Those received quite a lot of criticism. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, even the Kings did it. Well, the Kings, I feel like, had a different
They
kind of
did it
approach
with the
because
chrome helmet.
the Chrome, which they played at the Stadium Series because it was like Air Force based and whatnot. So I think that was kind of cool. It's not something that I think they wore at one time last season, just to like kind of bring it back. But when it's one or two games or like a special occasion kind of game, I would say like cool. But like if it's like a lot of games, that's when it gets a lot. But we'll see. Again, it could change when they're on the ice. I don't know, but I think I'm pretty pumped on the logo and the colors. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like this team. There's a lot of controversy on the team on the
Oh my
roster.
God. Yes.
The roster, I mean, they had so many names to choose from, and they chose the ones that they did. I'm curious to see what the strategy is there. I have a feeling
Yeah.
there's going to be a lot of moves that are going to be happening before like opening day and whatnot. But I am very curious as to why they chose those names and why they think those players are going to mesh so well together. When you have a team like that, Vegas came in, it's like, holy crap, like
But
immediately, like these
Vegas
guys.
was like that too. I mean, the only
That's
like
true.
superstar name that Vegas got was Fleury and then Stone later. But I mean, they put together a like a motley crew of guys who
That's
were
true.
talented but weren't like the stars, I don't think.
No, but it was one thing where I was like, you chose. Now, granted, I love Curtis McDermott. I think he's a great fighter. I think he was good for the Kings. But, like, out of every player, you chose Curtis McDermott, who is like the turnover king of the century. Like, what? But I guess you need a goon. I mean, you got to have a fighter that's on there. And, but I mean, they have Alessiak, who's a fighter too. And he's like, I mean, that guy's a huge dude. So you would think, I mean,
Yeah.
maybe they just want a huge back end and are just coming
They
up.
did. They went strong.
Yeah.
Like, they definitely followed the trend of the Blues and the Lightning with having a really solid blue
Yeah.
line, like
Right.
physically and talent wise. Well, except for like the turnover situation. But I mean, you can
Everyone has
teach.
them, though. Everyone has them.
Yeah, you can teach that. Like, you know, a
Yeah.
good coach can just fix that right up.
Yeah.
How I think
So
about it, but
I'm curious to figure out what that code was behind their mindset on why they chose who they chose and how those lines are going to be. And
yeah.
I just really want to be in the brains of that GM and just what was going on? What was he thinking? Was he like any many my mo?
It
Like
seemed like that, right? Like it was
Yeah.
so sort of like, who is that player? Like a lot of the guys, I was like, who? Like, who is
Yeah.
this? I mean, you know, they're
Right.
not names that you hear all the time in the mass sports writing world specific to your team. Like, if that player came from your team, of course, you're like, what are you talking about, Rachel? Of course I know who that is. Well, yeah, that's your player on your team, you know? Like, nobody knew who Quenville from the Blackhawks was. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he was pretty underwhelming. Like, okay, like, wait a second. His name is a famous hockey name, but him as a player he's not making big headlines, except for the fact that he's related to the Quenneville family of hockey players. So, you know, I think there was a lot of that, but I think there's some magic in that because those guys now don't have, they're not coming off of any of the pressure of being the stars, maybe Giordano, but I think he's such a veteran guy that, and he doesn't carry himself in that manner, that I don't think, and not playing in Canada, I think will be beneficial for him. And there's a little less pressure, but I think there's a lot of value in choosing the guys that aren't the superstars and they're going to be willing to work more with one another. And I think that could be a good thing. Or the other side of it is they're going to just be horrible. Like, they'll either be like a good magic mix, like Vegas ended up having, or they're going to be just horrible, I think.
Well, there's
I don't think there's
also,
any in between. Oops, sorry.
but I mean, there is going to be some magic happening because working together, and we have a lot to talk about when it comes to this subject, but there's two brothers on the team now. So now you have Hayden Kjelflurry. They're on there. They could be going after more of like a Sedin approach where they knew where each other were on the ice. And now you have multiple teams that are having brothers back on the team. I mean, Jamie and Jordy Benn were once on a team together when they played for Dallas. And now you have Chicago who has dual brothers.
Dual brothers, yeah, Seth and Caleb Jones and Kirby and Colton Dock. Like, what the brother is happening, Breezy?
That just seems
Is this
wild to me.
like they can't all be the Sedins? Like, I don't know
They
that just
can't.
because they're related, they're gonna play good together. Like, I don't know that I won't subscribe to that idea. I really
No.
don't. I show me, like, show me you guys. Like, show me two brothers who actually like really get along and are gonna be willing to like pass their brother the puck to get the goal. Like,
And you got some weird stuff coming on here too, because now you have all three Hughes
Hughes.
brothers in the league, and then the first American-born brothers that have all been drafted. So not only do you have
And in the
Jack, who was
top
drafted,
10.
so Jack was drafted as number one by the Devils. Now you have Quinn, who was drafted number seven, and he plays for the Canadian or the Canucks, right? But now you have Luke that just came in and was drafted number four by the Devils. So now you have Jack and Luke that are going to be playing against Quinn. Sorry, I was like,
I know
wait,
it's
too many brothers
hard.
going on.
I'm trusting you that you got all the names correct.
I'm good on that. But it's, I mean, now you have also New Jersey's in on the mix on the brotherly train too. So I
And
don't know
then
what's going to happen.
keeping it all in the family, Shane Doan's son got drafted by the Yotes. Josh, I think is his name, Josh Doan. So it's like
It's
all in the
just
family. Who decided, like, what scout or agent
let's
decided
get the
that all
bros
the,
together.
yeah, because like that's definitely something that happened, because this is just like I don't know. I'll believe the magic in these brothers playing together when I see it on the
I mean, I
ice.
guess there's chemistry that's already there. There's a lot of
Potentially, that's like just such an assumed thing. Like,
But
do
I
you like
think
if you
hockey
played with your
players.
brother on a line, you would be like jiving? Like, some
I
siblings don't get
mean,
along.
maybe not when he used to tie me up against the freaking goalpost and shoot pucks at me, but like now where we're like actually homies, like, yeah, I'd play with him because I know he'd want me to do good and I'd want him to do good. So,
Okay.
but then that's again a very me answer to say. So.
That's a very me thing to say. Not all siblings get along. But
No,
I
I
mean, they wouldn't
agree.
have drafted them if there was an issue within the family, because I think they do a
Exactly.
pretty good job at their scouting. But I don't know. I think my favorite announcer, like moment from the brothers being drafted or like the announcement happening was definitely the Doc brothers with Kirby just like crashing Colton's first presser with like he just like jumped in over his shoulder and Grish shook him like Hawks, baby! Like just totally geeked out. That was
That's
my
funny.
favorite. Slash, I'm also biased, of course.
I liked when Seth and Caleb were talking. Seth goes, "The best part about my brother is I always get to beat up on him," or something like that. And then Caleb's like, "Well, my brother's a big influence on me."
Yes. I'm off. Let me go off
Go
because I
for
gotta
it. Just
go.
go.
I gotta
I'll
go.
mute myself real quick.
No. You're gonna have to rein me back in. So
Okay.
at the expansion draft, ESPN2 hosted it. I was fuming at the broadcasters. Couldn't get names right. He didn't call Macklemore right. He called Macklemore. I was like, who the fuck is Macklemore? Who's coming out here? And then like Macklemore comes out and they played his song. And I was like, oh. And then clearly the producer got in his ear and told him Macklemore. Because then the second time he said it, he got it a little bit better. They shit on every single fucking team and player who was drafted. Every single player they said something bad about. They called one guy fat. They called Giordano old. And like, what are they? Like, the one guy, I was like, I can't with this. Like, what is wrong with you guys? Who produced this? You clearly don't know anything about hockey fans because you just said every bad thing about every team when they were announced. Those were the talking points they were reading off of cards, were the negative things. Like, this is the fattest guy in the league. And like, what are you supposed to say to that when you're on stage on national television and the broadcaster's like, oh yeah, you're the fattest guy in here.
Well, the funny thing is that
What? What the fuck? I
I
was
believe they
so
made
mad.
that comment about Jamie Oleksiak, but it's only because he's the heaviest guy in the league
Yeah.
based off of his size. The dude's what, 6'7" and weighs like 295 or something like
Yeah. But like, who put that
that.
as a fucking talking point on the note card? Why is that even relevant? Like, that has absolutely nothing to do with his ability to play hockey. Sorry, there's something in my eye. I got so heated and there's like a fuzz in my eye. I was like, just how I went off. I'm sorry for all the F-bombs, everybody, but like, it was making me so mad. I really hope this isn't a look at what's to come from ESPN because that was disrespectful. And why are they throwing fucking fish to JT Brown? And why wasn't JT Brown the new color analyst for the Kraken? Why wasn't he on the fucking stage doing the announcements? Why do you have what was the ESPN's the guy, the older guy in ESPN who was doing the
I have no
announcements?
idea. I
He's
have no
been there
idea.
forever. His bio is like covers rugby and fucking soccer, and you have that guy doing the draft. Like, what are you doing? What you know, you've got this deal. You've had time to find somebody to do this. Like, why didn't you have Carlin Baith? Like, get somebody who knows what they're doing and what they're talking about up there. Like, F failed, fail, F for failure. I think you got to pull me in and tell me to stop because, like, I was very upset. I don't take this lightly because broadcasting is what I do, and I'm a producer as well and a host. And I would just be like thrilled to have any kind of job in that space. Cl probably never getting one at ESPN unless they want someone who's going to really tell them what's up and
Probably
not
not with the
shy away.
Blackhawks.
And yeah, probably not with the Blackhawks, but you know.
That's
Turner
okay.
Sports, I'm your girl.
That's fine.
Turner
Well, I'm
Sports is
gonna.
much better at handling controversial hosts. So
Yeah.
give
And
your
yeah.
girl a call. But I
All
mean,
right.
I'm
Well,
done with that.
I'm gonna bring you in real quick because one of your ex Blackhawks, who was playing for the Coyotes, is now retired. Nicholas Jalmerson is retiring at the age of 34. I think he's just going to be a free agent. He doesn't really know. I think he's gone through a lot the last few years on the family side of things. Mm. And I think that he may just want to go back home. He's not really a huge name like he was with the Blackhawks, with the Coyotes. I think the Coyotes are in a little bit of rough shape right now, I think. And
yeah, they just got rid of Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
And there's a lot of chatter going around. Garland said that he had never even heard from the team. When that trade had gone down, the trade was pretty much finalized, and no one had even told the players involved that the trade was finalized. I think Garland said that he hadn't heard from the Coyotes organization since 3 days after the season had ended. And he had been, you know, asking questions and trying to figure that out. Again, I don't know this for a fact. It was just off of what I have read. So don't take any of this. Just maybe mute this because I don't know if it's 100%, but it's just what I had read.
Yeah.
But he was super frustrated that he, you know, wasn't really involved in this whole thing. And now you're losing two of your pretty
big name players,
guys. And, yeah. Big name players. And OEL's had a little bit of, I would say maybe a hard season or two, but overall, I still think that he's done super well. I mean, he's a great player. He's a great name to have on your team and in your community. But I think Nick maybe just was to the point where Nick also was struggling with some injuries. So maybe his body was just starting to give out on him. And I think based off of his personal life, from what is out there, it seems like it might be a little heavy on his heart. Maybe he needs to take the time for himself. Excited to see what happens for him. But based off of his privacy and whatnot, I don't think we're really going to hear much out of him regarding his retirement, and maybe after retirement as well. So,
yeah, I wish him well. I enjoyed him on the Blackhawks. I think since we're kind of talking about the Blackhawks, we should go right into that, and then we can go into the Blue Jackets because it's kind of intertwined here. So, okay. Everybody thinks, not everybody, but there's a very strong opinion out there that's very two-sided, like polarizing is the word I'm looking for. Was the Seth Jones acquirement by the Blackhawks in exchange for Boqvist and first round picks, and the fact that it's an 8-year deal and he's going to be making like 9.5 a year and million a year. Okay. That's what Bowman does. Bowman puts together horrible contracts, but he believes in Seth and thinks that Seth is going to have a really great career in Chicago and that he's going to be the future of the defense there. And he is taking a gamble on him for sure. It's a gamble. I don't totally believe that he's going to be this, you know, all-star defenseman on the Blackhawks, even though he's ranked like one of the top 10 defensemen, which I found.
He was an all-star.
He was?
He has been an all-star. He is actually he's probably taking over Duncan Keith's position.
Well, taking over his position, but I don't think you can compare him to Duncan Keith in any way, shape, or form, but like.
But you got to think of who Duncan Keith was playing with.
Right.
So if you put Seth on the same line as maybe, you know, a Kaner,
right,
you're probably going to get the same kind of return. So
I think that's
going to be good.
I think that's what Bowman is hoping will happen. And I hope it happens too. 8 years, don't think Seth Jones is worth an 8-year contract. It's definitely going to put us in a bind in the upcoming 3 years when DeBrincat and Doc and all of our young stars are going to need bigger contracts if they want to keep them. But I also have a feeling that Bowman's plan is not to keep Kane and Taze when their contracts are up. So I don't know that the salary cap issue is going to be such an issue. I just, that's my theory. And also draft picks are so relative that I don't think it's that big of a deal to get rid of draft picks, but that's how I view it. Like, you're taking a gamble on draft picks as well. You don't know how they're going to be. We don't know if Colton's going to be any good. We don't know if, you don't know if any of these young guys are actually going to be stars. Like, you just don't. And so I think people take that a little too seriously. I don't think Bowman, I don't know what he's doing. Like, I don't know what his plan is because he's, made such a public statement saying that it's a rebuilding. But like, I don't really think giving Seth Jones an 8-year contract is a rebuilding move, in my opinion. It's one of Bowman's things. Like, he wanted Saad back and look what happened. But I don't think we gave up anything that drastic. I just hope Seth can live up to his potential. So that's my like opinion on that. And I also still, I mean, obviously this is going to be coming out once free agency starts. So I'm sure there could be a lot that happens because there's a lot of free agents on the market that are good. Do we have the salary cap for them? I don't know. Potentially. It depends on if they're going to make a trade. Are we moving people around? Like, what are we doing? And then you've got those like one for one trades, like the Blue Jackets. Like, I mean, the Blue Jackets have completely, they are no longer the Blue Jackets we've seen in the last 2 years. Tortorella obviously gone. Atkinson just went to Philly for
Voracek.
Voracek.
Yeah, and then you have Josh Anderson who left last season to go to the Montreal Canadiens. You don't have Seth Jones. I
And then the
mean,
other one who went to Toronto, whose wife we had on the podcast,
Foligno,
Foligno,
which there
gone.
were talks about him maybe going to Minnesota to play with his brother.
Oh, Jesus Christ, with the brother. I'm over it. It's overkill. It's overkill with the brothers.
I think that's what they were talking because I mean Nick still has a lot to of hockey to play, I think, but I think he could be potentially he's I think he's worth more than what people are signing him for and want to get him in for contract wise. But Minnesota would be a good place for him to fit in. I mean, he's a solid team guy. He, has the skill, he has the whole community kind of thing behind him. And I think that if Minnesota could sign him for a few years at, a low hit, he'd be playing with his brother. The family would be together. I think just overall for the family side of it and for Minnesota being such like a family tight-knit community and a team and organization, I think that it would honestly probably be a perfect fit. But there we go, brothers again.
Think there's a lot to be proven, and I think in this upcoming season, we'll know which brothers and if this theory of brothers playing together is
May the
really.
best set of brothers win. But I mean, now you have Tampa is being broken and shredded to
Yeah,
pieces. I
their
mean,
defense and their third line.
you got a lot going on. When this episode comes out, the next day will be free agency. So a lot of this is going to be, obsolete. But
It's
curious to see.
interesting.
Curious. I mean, I want to see where Landeskog is going to end up. From the talks of it, it doesn't even seem like there is any talks between his camp and the or and what am I trying to say?
With the
Organized.
Avalanche.
Yeah.
Well,
And
Makar, because
so
Makar got his
yeah.
extension, but
So I
Landeskog and
mean
somebody else, Grubauer, right? Their contracts are their UFAs, right?
yeah, but Landeskog is like determined that he's going to be, an Avalanche, but from what I've been reading and from some sources, it doesn't seem like it's going over too well. There was talks that he could even land up in Chicago.
How are we going to
So
pay for him, though?
I don't know. I don't
And then
know,
that
but
goes back to Bowman's bullshit of being like,
yeah.
we're rebuilding. And
But
it's
then they're
like,
saying that he could land in Toronto. He could potentially end up in LA. He could end up in Arizona. I mean, there's a lot of different pieces. I mean, he could even go to the Rangers. The Rangers are, in need of some talent. So,
Oh, and we haven't heard from your Kings yet of this big name. which we'll hopefully we'll hear this week.
Yeah, it could be. There's also an Eichel that's been, chitter chattering with the Kings. I mean, they'd have to give up a little bit for Eichel. I don't know if they necessarily want to do that. There's been a lot of chatter going around that people need to start paying attention to the Kings prospects because the Kings are building something that no one has ever seen before, which is good for Kings fans because obviously that means a solid future. But if that's also the case, then they would have to give up some of those prospects to go up to Buffalo, which Buffalo probably would happily take. But I don't think the Kings have much to give up as far as what Buffalo is asking for Eichel. But it is an option. Big name, huge talent. I don't know. We'll see what it looks. I don't know. We'll see. Could Landeskog end up here? I don't know.
I mean, there's quite a few big names that are UFAs, so.
I'm just afraid if Landeskog comes to LA, it's going to be another Burns Carlson situation where it's like, oh my God, you have two of the best defensemen in the league on the same team, and they were trash.
Right. Because of all the other elements of the team, you know,
Yeah,
it's
because
like,
now if you have Doughty and Landeskog together, that's nasty,
oh.
right? That's nasty. But
Right,
that actually could be really sick. But
but who's gonna score the goals?
yeah, because Doughty is a bit of a showboat. He likes
Oh,
Doughty
I
is
mean, like
basically
your
a
O
forward,
line,
but
like who on the O line is gonna be scoring, you know?
yeah. I mean, you
I
got
mean.
Kopitar out there. Trevor Moore just signed 2 years, hometown boy from Thousand Oaks. That's super exciting on the Kings side, but we got
Right.
to get some big, big talent over here. And who's that name? I don't know.
I don't know.
I
Speaking of
don't
the prospects and the draft, like the young team for the
know.
Kings, I think the Blackhawks are doing pretty well with their
They are,
draft
yeah.
picks. I think they did really well in the draft. They got a lot of good defense.
I foresee a conference final going off between the Kings and the Blackhawks in the pretty near future.
I could too. I think they're similar on the page of what they're trying to do with their rebuilding structure, even though like the Kings haven't, I don't think they've officially like said that's what they're doing, but
Yeah.
you
Well,
know.
it's been rebuilding for a couple of years, and that
Yes.
they kind of announced it about 3 seasons ago that they
Okay.
were getting into a rebuild. But we should be starting to come out of the rebuild, and from what it looks like, I mean, now we have Arvidsson on the team. He's a good goal scorer. I think it's going to be a good change of pace for him. But we got to get something else going, and I think the Hawks are, a year or two behind the Kings on the rebuild. But I think Seth Jones was a huge building block on that. And I think that teams probably could rebuild quicker now than they have before, just based off of the amount of talent that is in the league. So I think that rebuilds aren't going to take as long as people maybe think they are. And you got to remember that you're going to have throughout the season, there's going to be good weeks and bad weeks. Every team has those. And, I don't think that, the Kings could lose every single opening game. I think they've won one since I've started going in the last like 12 years. So, but you can't base an entire season off of an opening night. And that's something everyone needs to remember.
It pains me to say this, but I do agree with you that the Kings are much further ahead in their rebuilding because on top of the good farm situation, they've got better contracts with their star players that are not as long as what Bowman does with the Blackhawks, which was problematic. Like these 7, 8 year long contracts, that's when you really hurt yourself, especially in what we've seen with Seabrook and, you know, all like the injuries and
Yeah.
the not being able to be healthy and play long term. And that's why I think an 8 year contract is just ridiculous because,
I think the Kings learned their lesson when they did that with Quick.
right.
Because Quick is still in a pretty hefty contract and no one wants to take it. And I mean, Quick still has some gas in his tank, but he's just not the same player as when they signed him for like, I don't remember what the contract, it was like 10 years or something. It was something crazy.
Right.
So if anybody were to pick him up, first of all, he would be a backup goalie because technically he is a backup goalie now. And the Kings would have to retrain some of his salary. So it's like,
right. What? Yeah. It's like you lose. You might as well just keep him and ride it out. And then that slows down the possibility of, you know, big things happening. But
which he was another name that was available for the Kraken to pick up.
Right.
And everyone was kind of banking on that. And so, I mean, there was Austin Wagner. There was Quickie that was on there. I mean, there's a bunch of names that like were so much better than Curtis McDermott, but they picked up Dermy, and it's like, okay, well, that was interesting. I don't know why I was losing sleep over this. I mean, it's sad to see him go. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's a beast when he fights, but it was one of those things where it was like, okay, it wasn't half bad.
I think it's gonna be a tough go for us with those teams, and also your Predators have been pulled apart as well.
They have, yeah.
They're in the same sort of situation, and then
I'm very the confused Leafs. On what's did the going Leafs? On with him.
Yeah, and the Leafs didn't do anything.
They have some stuff coming up. Zach Hyman's gonna be out the door, which is.
It's fine, but I don't think we're going to get big news, because how can they even afford anybody now?
They can't. They're
right.
They got to stick with kind of what they have, I think. And I mean, they're obviously probably going to lose Foligno. They're going to lose Hyman. Mm-hmm. I mean, but if you have your big guys still, I mean, Jake Muzzin, I mean, he's still signed on, but like he's still very injury prone. Will he be even playing a lot of games this upcoming season? I mean, you have Morgan Rielly still that's top of his game, Tavares, Austin, and Mitchie, you got them going. They should be fine. I mean, there's a lot that's still there. And the Predators, I mean, they lost Arvidsson, big guy in their locker room. They also just lost Ellis.
Right.
Huge guy. Everyone was blindsided by the whole Ellis thing. They are getting some in return, but nothing like
goalie retiring, Pekka.
Pekka's retiring, but, you know, Soros can do really good. And then Yarncroke just got, you know, selected by the Kraken. That one you knew was coming. I mean, Cali's had a great season, honestly, a great season. You can't protect everybody. You got to protect the younger guys that are going to be up and coming, especially when they have, you know, the talent they have in Ekholm and Yossi that, you know, they can learn off of them. You kind of hoped that they would pick up Johansson or Matt Duchene because they have ridiculous contracts that no one's going to want to pick up, and they're underperforming up the freaking yin yang, but they didn't want to select. They selected the best player they possibly could have selected from the Preds. So kudos to them. I'm a big Yarncroke fan. I think that he is a very underrated, but very well-deserving player of anything that he gets. But Preds, unless Joey and Duchene want to start doing something other than just lounging and hanging out with the dogs and living up the Nashville life like Matt Duchene likes to do, I think he needs to get out of his head. And if he wants to retire, then he just needs to retire and just live on the farm like he wants to do. You come to Nashville, you come to play. The city expects you to play. And if you're not doing it, then
go sing country music.
Or go down to the local honky-tonk and pick up your guitar and do something. Because you're not doing a whole lot on the team, and it sucks, but, I mean, you got to do better.
Yeah, come on. There's so many young guys that are just killing, like, wishing they could, not killing, but, like, wishing they could have his spot, but they can't because of the contract and the things, and it's like, you know, I mean, if your heart's not in it, get out of it, you know?
And you have Rocco Grimaldi, who is a little spitfire. He is all over the ice. He works his freaking butt off. But they scratch him to play Matt Duchene, who's sitting over there scratching his butt. Like, what are you doing? This guy, you bench a guy who just scored 4 goals the previous game to put in someone who is, you know, singing with the country singer that's in the Bud Light zone. Like, come on.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm ranting. Call me Rachel.
Call me Rachel. But
Oh, that's funny.
seriously, yeah, it just got my goat, man. That track, like, I almost had to turn it off, but I was like, well, I want to see what other horrible things they're gonna do because this is a
Yes.
train wreck.
I have never been on Twitter so much in my life, and it's just I'm not even doing anything on Twitter. I'm literally just refreshing like this, and I'm just like, all right, now what's being said? Oh, so Jalmerson's retired. Okay, there we go.
Right.
Now you have Patrick Laine's in the mix, Timo Meier's in the mix, Dougie Hamilton, Alex Ovechkin. I mean, you have all these big names, and you're like, I mean, will Laine come to LA? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm excited
Maybe
to see.
my prediction is starting to come true with when we were talking to Tony from Edmonton, and I said history is going to repeat itself and McDavid's going to come to LA.
What's McDavid's contract? Is that even possible?
No, he just signed like a 12-year contract or something. I
Right.
don't even know. I don't know, but
Well,
anything's
he would have
possible.
to choose, right? Like he has the clause that if he wants to go, he can say he can go, right?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe
So
so.
if he wants to go and LA's gonna pay for him, I mean, I think it'll just be, I don't think history would repeat itself. I think it would just be a total wash, but that's
Who
my,
knows? We may be living in a simulation.
we just might be. Let's go
Right.
simulate our lives and hopefully next week we're working on getting a real expert in the field, if you will, a media expert who's in the know of all the things. I shouldn't use air quotes. He's a real, expert.
Yeah.
So sorry, I take that back. But hopefully that will be really interesting because he's going to be able to offer us a lot of insight on the UFAs and what rumors and things that he's heard. So, next week should be a really good episode with an actual expert theorizing. This is just the fan experts offering their
Yes.
opinions on what we think, but the fans know a lot. So,
Yeah. Well, there we have it.
all
So
right, we'll
stay
go
tuned
simulate.
and simulation on.
Thanks for coming over to our House of Hockey podcast and hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Just look for House of Hockey Podcast. We'll be back next week.